So happy it's Thursday. Welcome back. ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. Information on all of our past shows, you can find them at pricelesshome.com. Click on the radio microphone. Also, we own the domain, therealestateradiohour.com. Again, therealestateradiohour.com will also get you to the website with all the old shows, YouTube, and can actually search
for them. My personal favorite, iTunes.
On iTunes, yes, yes, yes. Our focus for the show today is love and real estate. Do they mix? I guess we'll find out. Sometimes they have to. Introductions. We've got Kelly Klein, Vice President of Mortgage Lending with BlueFi Lending. How you doing, Kelly?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me. Welcome aboard, buddy.
That's BlueFi.com, no E. BlueFi.com.
That's correct.
Awesome. Also, Sean Weber, Family Law Attorney with Brave, Weber & Mack here in Solana Beach. Advocate of the collaborative divorce process. And really, he's the guy that's going to walk through the first step of the love and real estate. I guess you've got some kind of ebook going on with a bunch of topics you go through as far as this love and real estate concept. How you doing, Sean?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Excited to be here. Thank you both for joining us. We always like to start with some news articles. And I got this one for you, Kelly. I'm sure you'll enjoy this. Mortgage rates keep breaking records. What are we looking at today?
Interest rates have definitely been at historical lows and have been down at the 3.5% mark here for a couple of months now. Every day we see a little bit of a give and take. Market kind of goes up one day and down another. We kind of call it the elevator effect. It's what we live with. Every other day, you don't know what kind of elevator you're hopping into. So it's an interesting ride.
But 3.5 plus or minus an eighth, plus or minus a quarter a day, I mean, something like that, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, any given day, we see the market move about an eighth of a percent.
That's tolerable.
Definitely.
I mean, we're at the lowest it's ever been since long-term interest rates were started, right?
Yeah, since history started tracking interest rates, we are at historical lows.
Yeah, I show here since the 1950s. Maybe that's when they started tracking interest rates. I don't know. But it says here, lowest since 1950.
Yeah.
That's really low. Also goes, so you're quoting a 30-year fixed.
3.5% today is 30-year fixed.
What about a 15?
15-year fixed today, you're at 2.875 if you qualify and you're eligible.
If you're qualifying, you're eligible. Of course, you got to qualify.
Wait. You can qualify, right? I mean, people are under the assumption that they can't qualify these days, and what's really happening is every single day, just about 10,000 people across the country get approved for a loan. So there's a lot of approving going on, and
most
people
definitely
are still under this impression that they can't get a loan.
Actually, mortgages are becoming a lot more easier to qualify for than they had a couple of years back after the mortgage meltdown crisis hit. Guidelines have opened up a little bit. Programs are available for even people who are underwater that don't have any equity. So there's definitely more product available for people that don't feel as though they may be able to qualify at these times.
In fact, later in the show, we're going to talk specifically about some of those programs that specifically certain cities and the state have put in place. I think you said something about $20 million in grants just for
down payment assistance, first-time buyers.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's a big chunk of money.
The reason that I bring this article up is it goes on to say that, of course, with decreasing interest rates, more people are able to refinance or go out and purchase a home. Of course, that's theoretically based. There's still need to qualify, and there's still need for supply to actually buy a property, which is an issue right now. But assuming that happens, it says that consumer spending drives 70% of the economic activity. So by interest rates dropping, we're hopefully getting more consumer spending. I guess that's the idea.
Interest rates drop, people refinance, their payment drops, they have more money to spend, they put more money back into the economy. Here we go, Christmas. Ring it on.
That's right.
Here we go, Christmas. Another good article. Seventh straight month increase in real estate market in the county, San Diego County. Keep going up. Now, we're not talking huge numbers. 0.9%. 0.9%. A little bit less than 1% increase. I guess this is probably, I mean, I'm reading it in November, and it probably is comparing September and October. But not down.
Well, you know, when you look at the latest headlines, it's easy to see, you know, one way or the other. And that is really where the crux of our problem lies, is that one person comes out and says, for example, Long Young came out and said, we expect home prices to go up 10% year over year, while Gary Schilling came out and said, we expect home prices to go down another 20%. But I will say that by and large, specifically to our county, it's hard to find bad news about real estate right now.
You know, we were talking, Sean, we were talking outside, and I kind of mentioned to you that, you know, we may have hit the bottom and perhaps a small increase back up. And you had kind of suggested how that may be aligning with the separation business. And sometimes people are waiting until the home is no longer underwater.
Well, that's true. I mean, we got a lot of people that are, you know, they're underwater on their house. They're struggling. They're trying to you know, make ends meet. And they're looking at a looming divorce. And a lot of times I tell my male clients, or, you know, when they have a wife, it's cheaper to keep her. And they're trying to figure out how to keep it together
to keep her.
With
wow.
their finances. I know it's kind of misogynistic of me to say it.
What's love got to do about it? Well, with it, right? What's love got to do with it?
Apparently a lot. But you know, people are holding it together because they're trying to figure out how to make their finances work. But I can see that if the real estate market is kind of opening up a little bit, that might enable people
more divorces, you think?
It might actually. I think there might be some pent-up demand in the divorce industry.
Wow. That's interesting, because I would also think that a lot of a family's internal stresses are based on finances, right? So when the economy is was coming down, a lot of people had these problems and were having other reasons to fight other than the fact that he never puts a toilet seat down and she always leaves her toe clippings on the, you know, coffee table, whatever it happens to be. There's just
getting
one more
close
reason
to home there, huh, Ryan?
Well,
experience, right?
Doesn't the old saying go, like, poverty comes in the door, love goes out the window, something like that?
Yeah, that's true. But then on the other hand, you also have affluenza that hits people when things are going really well. Sometimes they make really goofy choices as far as their money's concerned and as far as their relationship's concerned.
Well, they get used to that lifestyle.
Well, that's what I was...
Correct.
That's what I was finding was noteworthy.
For richer or for poorer.
As things are going up, you're also seeing an increase in separations and pent up, I guess is what you're saying, pent up need.
Yeah, a lot of times it's pent up need. I mean, we see two reasons for why people get divorced. Maybe they have too much money and they're just kind of getting silly, right?
Okay.
And then we also have the situation where they don't have enough money and the fights start, and a lot of the reasons people get divorced is they're fighting over money, and real
right.
estate's a big part of that.
Real estate's a big part of that. Well, going through this article a little bit further here, apparently, there are 20 cities tracked by Case-Shiller and their research. 19 of the 20 cities tracked actually showed an increase, everything except for Seattle, which had a loss, 0.1%.
We got Seattle weather out there right now.
Yeah, we do have Seattle weather out there, that's for sure. Year over year.
0.9% or something like that, would you say?
0.1% Seattle in the negative, in the red.
Yeah.
Come on. Nobody's that accurate. I wonder what the... Delta is on all their statistics. I bet it's way more than 1.1%. Additionally, year over year, San Diego, 1.9% increase. And this is an average. Now, at the lower end, way more than that.
I don't
way
believe
more
that.
Than 1.9.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I see home prices have jumped quite a bit year over year in San Diego County, but that's just what I'm seeing. So.
We asked for some negative news.
No, I never asked for negative news.
There it is. There's some conversation going around about eliminating the mortgage interest deduction. Apparently, there is $100 billion in lost revenue to the feds because us little guys are writing off the interest we pay on our home loans. And... I think that would be incredibly detrimental.
That's not going to fly.
A teetering real estate process that we're in right now. I would imagine that comes into play a lot with what you're doing, Kelly.
It definitely does. It takes away the one write-off that the majority of average Jane and John Does have to write off on their tax returns. When the whole intent of the pride of home ownership comes into play, you talk about that pride being, yes, you've got a place to live that you can invest in, but it also pays you dividend as a result of owning it. When that dividend goes away and you're in a stagnant marketplace where you're not gaining appreciation, mm-hmm. what's the real benefit of home ownership? And
right.
that's going to shake a lot of people that right. might be looking at buying homes out of that marketplace.
Well, sure. This is a topic we can really debate on because certainly the politicians are saying, hey, we've got a deficit here. We've got to right this ship, make it work. And at the same time, we're like, well, wait a second. You know, how many conversations do we have with a potential home buyer? And we say, okay, so you know, yeah, your payment's going to be $2,300 a month, but your deduction is going to be $400 a month. So you're going to be owning a house and essentially for less than you pay rent in now. Versus, you know, if we take that tax deduction away, now there's no benefit to it.
Certainly less benefit of being a homeowner. Certainly less benefit of being a homeowner. Do we actually think that will – I mean, I would have to imagine that's going to hurt our real estate values, right?
I think it could play a part, but I also think that in turn it's going to also cause landlords to increase rents because that landlord who is buying up a bunch of real estate
right.
to get all the tax write-offs and write off all that mortgage interest and shelter his finances no longer is going to have that benefit. So what's he going to do in exchange is he's going to turn around and he's going to increase rent. So those who aren't getting into the market to buy for that pride of home ownership are now going to be stuck fitting the landlord's higher bills.
Yeah, look, if you're a politician out there right now and you want to call in and give us a good reason why you think that this should be passed, call us on our hotline at 888-551-2593. We want to hear why you think that it's a good idea to take away the mortgage tax relief.
Again, the Real Estate Helpline, 888-551-2593. When we come back, we're going to go through Sean's entire list, or as many as we can get through, of his love and real estate frequently asked questions, and Sean's going to tell us what love's got to do with it.
The best part about being smarter than everyone else is that we don't have to listen to all the talking heads. We don't have to listen to all the rumors and all the graybeards who think they know how this stuff really works. The law is on your side. That's right. The laws are designed to protect consumers from being riddled with debt. They're designed that way so that you can become debt-free and get a fresh start. You should do what I did. When I had financial stress, I called William McDonald with the McDonald Legal Group. Find out how you can use the law to your advantage. Delete your debt and keep your stuff. You got credit card debt, timeshares, old IRS debt, collections, medical bills, any of this stuff can be wiped away with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy and it only takes 100 days. Call William McDonald today. 800-997-1235. 800-997-1235 or go online, sandiegobankruptcy.us.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. Are you looking to buy a new or used car? Would you like to get a special deal just for listening to the show? All you have to do is go to bestcardealsandiego.com and get connected with my friends at Toyota of Escondido. I guarantee you get a great deal and walk away happy. They'll give you the most for your trade and the lowest price for your new or used car purchase. They have a 12.5-acre facility, so finding the perfect car is easy. By the way, they can finance anyone. If you've had a bankruptcy, short sale, foreclosure, even a repossession, everyone walks away happy at Toyota of Escondido. Just go to bestcardealsandiego.com today. That's bestcardealsandiego.com. Toyota of Escondido is a family-owned and operated company, so you can support the local community, get treated the way you deserve, and ultimately get the best car deal in San Diego. Go to bestcardealsandiego.com right now. That's bestcardealsandiego.com. And get the best possible deal on a car in San Diego today. BestCarDealSanDiego.com.
Did you know Charles Lindbergh achieved the first solo flight across the Atlantic in 1927? Know what else? Elmer Drew opened Drew's Garage in La Mesa. 85 years family owned and operated. Come to Drew Ford in La Mesa. You'll find San Diego County's largest selection of new Fords by far. All Drew value discount priced every day. Check out Drew's entire inventory and ad specials at DrewFord.com today. So now, you know.
It all comes down to this. It's the 2012 NCAA Women's College Cup. Every shot, every goal, every last-minute save. Be there for it all at the 2012 NCAA Women's College Cup, November 30th and December 2nd at Torero Stadium in San Diego, California. Hosted by the University of San Diego. Experience it live. Visit ncaa.com/tickets and make a date with champions.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance has got me reflecting a bit. You know, about all the places I've been so far, all the nice folks I've met, and all the money GEICO saved them. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I saved somebody money on car insurance, I could retire tomorrow. But then I'd have to stop my journey across America. I'd never get to visit Collinsville, Illinois, and see the world's largest bottle of ketchup. Well, there's no way I'm going to miss that.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
At Grainger, we understand running a facility means wearing a lot of hats. One minute you're replacing a condenser fan motor, the next you're swapping out fluorescent bulbs. That's why we offer over 900,000 products in 31 product categories. Many ready right when you need them, from HVAC equipment to safety supplies. Whatever you need, even if it's a new hat. Yeah, we've got those too. To help keep your business running efficiently, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's the Herd. I love business, and I believe to be successful in business, you need to be able to meet with your team regularly. I do. Whenever you need to, wherever you are. Discuss plans, share ideas, bring them to life. But with clients and colleagues working from different offices or on the go, meeting face-to-face often impossible. That is, unless you use GoToMeeting with HD Faces, and I have. The powerful way to meet and collaborate with your team online. This is how business works effectively. With GoToMeeting with HD Faces, it gives your team the ability to share screen time, making it easier to be on the same page. And when you meet face-to-face, you're more likely to see eye-to-eye. So easy to join, so easy to launch from anywhere. Try GoToMeeting free for a month, 30 days. Don't wait. Special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code Colin. Be sure to use the promo code Colin. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
Welcome to ESPN 1700. It's a real estate radio hour with your host, Ryan White and David McKelvin. So let's get right down to it, Sean. While we're off the air here, we talked a little bit about some of this mortgage deduction legislation stuff, and you brought up a good point, which was about child support.
Well, one of the inputs that you have for child support calculations and spousal support calculations, or alimony, is the mortgage interest deduction and also the property tax deduction. And if those are gone, that's going to change the calculations for people's support. There's going to be a rush on the court of people wanting to reduce their support.
Reduce their support. Yeah.
Because if I'm a support payer and I'm paying a mortgage, I have a big deduction. That's going to increase the amount of money I have available to pay for child support.
Right. So this, it seems as though, innocently enough, why don't we fill the gap with taking away some of these interest rate deductions? But at the same time, it sounds like a big explosion could happen in a time when we're starting to see home values come up in price. You know, we're starting to see mortgages, you know, at a super low interest rate right now. People are refinancing, and the market seems to be showing a lot of signs of recovering. And so they're starting to put pressure on us with these different ideas of how we're going to fix the deficit and maybe we'll take this deduction away or not. So it's a little bit more complicated than it might meet the eye.
All right, buddy. Love and real estate. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right,
let's do it.
Let's do this. So if you have any additional questions for Sean, because these are a little bit complicated topics, we may not hit every detail through all of them. The free consultation you offer, right?
That's
real
correct.
Estate Helpline, 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. Okay, here's the first one.
Okay.
If I own the property before we get married, does she still get it if we break up?
Okay. If I own the property before we get married, does she still get it if we break up? And the answer is probably not.
Well, that locks it in.
Okay.
Okay. Good enough. Subject, next. Right?
Probably not.
So let me try to elaborate on that. If you own the property before you get married, it's considered separate property in California. It means it's yours. Okay, you don't have to. It doesn't mean that just because of the marriage that that's now her property or it's community property. But what can happen is you can make choices during the marriage with how you treat that property, which then could give her an opportunity or him an opportunity to have a piece of it. So one thing that people do is they'll pay the mortgage on the property from their wages. Well, your wages are community property. That's marital property. And so then what you're doing is you're building an interest in that house or that real estate by paying community wages towards that property. It actually reduces.
Well, if I buy a house and then I get married, of course I'm using my wages to pay for the house. I mean, duh, that's what I'm doing, right? That's what you qualified me on was my wages.
That's right.
And so
correct.
What other choice do I have?
Well, if you marry someone that's really nice and really, truly loves you.
Well, they probably are when I marry them.
You might do a prenuptial agreement, first of all, before okay. you get married, that says this house will always, no matter what I use to pay for it, will always be my separate property.
Oh, how romantic.
It's very romantic.
Yeah, prenups are not that popular. And one of the things I think about prenups is that don't you have to have a prenup for both sides, or can't they be pierced?
Yeah, prenups can be pierced. And what's really – they're in disfavor with the legislature and the Uniform Premarital Agreement Act, which was passed after the Marriage of Bonds case, which is our friend Barry Bonds, the baseball player. They're in disfavor because there have been a number of prenuptial agreements that just weren't very nice to the other party. They were seen as onerous, or they were seen as over the top and being mean to women, basically. So I come in, I put a prenup in front of you, and we run off to the altar and get married, and you don't realize you've signed off all your rights to everything. So what they require now is that you have an attorney on both sides. There's a lot of rules regarding what makes a prenup enforceable versus what makes a prenup unenforceable. And, you know, a lot of times people go online and they have prenups prepared. I can usually have those thrown out in court because they're usually not done right. You got to cross your I's and dot your T's.
And that's a pretty
important
thing.
Do you come across a lot of prenups, or is it just that people fall in love, they go right to the altar, what's mine is yours?
Oh, yeah. Most people are blinded by love, right? You know, and they just run to the altar. They want to get married. Or it's not a very savory topic to bring up. Well,
no,
I love you,
my
dear, but here's a prenup.
Yeah.
Although I got to say, people that have a prenup are really smart because they're talking about it. One of the things that the prenup does, and one reason I like it, is people are talking about what they're going to do with their money before they get married instead of after they get married. You know, like we were talking about before the break, is that, you know, money is one of the big problems with a divorce, what leads to a divorce. Mm-hmm. It's people's fighting over the money. If you have a prenup, you've had a conversation.
Right.
There's clear expectations.
Right.
You know, we're not surprised that I think this house is my separate property.
Well, you know, they say love endures all, right? What they won't really say is that, you know, if you love somebody, then you don't love them because things got tough. I mean, the word endure seems to imply that there's going to be tough times, right? I mean,
right, yeah, for better, for worse, that kind of thing. But, you know, people, you know, they get into the marriage with the best of intention. Nobody gets married with the intention that I'm going to get divorced later. Well, maybe. I mean, you hear about starter marriages, right?
Well, maybe.
You hear about, you know, starter homes or starter marriages.
You got to get the first one out of the way.
My wife went to school with this person who she said she saw this guy that she thought was attractive, and she said, "Well, he'd make a good first husband."
You know. Okay, so I buy a house, I get married. We didn't get a prenup. Of course, I'm paying it with my wages. Anything else that stops me from having to share it?
Well, that's the big part. And then the other thing you have to be careful about is when you're refinancing on the house.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes banks will want you to have the wife on the loan.
Right, for debt income purposes.
Right, and then what ends up happening is you do a deed that says, okay, now I'm going to give this to my wife too. Well, you do that deed. That's a powerful instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's probably a community property asset at that point.
And there's
complicated rules about what means. There's this word, this special word they use in legal vernacular called transmutation. Not to be confused with transubstantiation, but transmutation.
Definitely not, yeah.
Which means that, you know, I'm changing something from community property to separate property. There's very technical rules about what that is, but a deed's a very powerful instrument. And if you write a deed and you put your wife on that deed, that will have a consequence.
Yeah,
even if
yeah.
you just intended that for a refi. Yeah.
Well, that's got to happen all the time, though, especially because by putting her on, you're using, I would imagine, her income or credit to qualify.
Yeah, I mean, Kelly, tell us what happens.
That's got to be it.
Yeah, if both parties are going to be on the loan for qualification purposes, they're both going to be on the deed. And a lot of times we do transactions where the husband is the only one who maybe brings in all the money and says, well, there's no reason for my wife to be on the loan. She doesn't bring any income to the table, but I still want her on title. So they retain the community property state. And then there's other transactions where the borrower will say, oh, well, we'll just put it in my name and I'll be, you know, married, sole, and separate. And in some cases, as Sean mentioned before, the one spouse owns the house prior to the marriage and they continue to act as though this is not a community property and it's the one spouse who owned it prior to the marriage. So we see all different variations of it on a pretty regular basis in our business.
Now, what I have seen done before is people will do a document that they sign alongside the deed that says, well, I signed this deed, but I really didn't mean it, basically, for lack of a better term.
Just kidding.
Wait. I signed the loan documents, but I didn't really want the loan. Right.
Right. Well, we're doing the deed and we're doing the loan, but then what we're saying is, well, we only did this deed. We didn't mean to transmute this property. We did this deed so that we could qualify for a refi.
I'm sure the judge loves that.
That's tough. That's a tough conversation to have, too. Honey, I need your income, but I'm not giving you half the property. I'm going to undo it as soon as you sign
it.
That's not going to work out well. Okay.
Well, isn't there a time frame? I mean, isn't there a short-term marriage and a long-term marriage, and doesn't that have an impact on who gets the property?
Not so much on who gets the property. I mean, the duration of the marriage, when you're talking about long-term versus short-term, that has a lot to do with whether or not there's alimony and for how long is the alimony.
Okay, so let's say that you've got a piece of property. You had it before the marriage. You were with this person for 8 years. Now you're divorcing, and you're the one on title,
mm-hmm.
and she's on the loan as well, and you're both on title, and you want to separate. Now, Kelly, you end up with a situation because the wife maybe wants to keep the house, but wasn't there a clause where you said that you can refinance the other person out, but if they don't qualify for the loan because of dual income, you know, now that they're sole and separate, so they've got to qualify to buy the property or refinance out of it because of one income? I mean, what happens in that situation?
Yeah, we see a lot of times where when there's a divorce, there ends up needing to be a buyout of the real estate ownership rights. And a lot of times we do find that the challenge is perhaps the wife hasn't been working. She's been a homemaker and raising the kids, and the husband's been the breadwinner making the income. When the divorce goes down, the wife keeps the house because of the kids. The husband deeds off title, but the wife and the husband are still on the mortgage. We have to try to qualify the wife to take the husband off the mortgage. And if we can't get him off the mortgage, then when he goes to qualify to buy his own house, he needs to qualify carrying the wife's mortgage debt as well as his soon-to-be mortgage debt. And a lot of times that puts a handcuff on that husband to buy a new home.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. The real estate helpline here, 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. When we come back, Sean's going to tell us how long you have to be married before your spouse is entitled to half your stuff when we come back.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the United States own mutual funds. It makes me wonder how many of these people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is, you don't have to try and figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is willing to do a free risk cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, call the helpline today and get a free analysis so you can find out how much these investments are really costing you. 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much? Dan will tell you this for free, and he'll also give you a risk analysis snapshot so you can find out if you're taking on more risk than you should be. Just call the helpline today at 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154.
Pacific Coast Commercial is a San Diego commercial real estate and property management company. Are you a business owner looking for the perfect building to purchase or lease? Or a landlord tired of high vacancies and the day-to-day challenges of tenants and property management? Pacific Coast Commercial handles the sales, leasing, and property management of all asset types throughout San Diego County. Let us show you why Pacific Coast Commercial is the right choice for you. Call Vince today at 619-469-3600. That's 619-469-3600. Or PacificCoastCommercial.com.
I want my MPG.
Matrix 32 MPG Highway. Corolla 34. Camry 35. Yaris 38. Camry Hybrid 43 City.
This is Toyota Today, the most fuel-efficient full-line automotive manufacturer.
Prius V, 44 MPG City,
the classic Prius, 50. Prius C, 53. Prius plug-in, 95.
Most fuel-efficient claim based on NHTSA Final Industry Model Year 10 Cafe data for Toyota Motor Sales. 2012 EPA estimates and combined estimated miles per gallon equivalent. Actual mileage will vary.
Thank you so much for coming down to the Samuel Adams Craft Brewery. Our founder and owner, Jim Cook, will be giving your tour today. What do you guys think about that?
This is Samuel Adams Boston Lager. It's got a lot of flavor, and yet it is balanced and complex. What makes it a great beer is those four different things across your palate. Body, sweetness, spiciness, and bitterness. That's what a great beer should deliver. Okay, let's go drink some Boston Lager.
Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Safer responsibly.
Introducing the newest energy drink, Hyperdrive. Made with electrolytes, gamma lights, and lightning. Drink one, drink five, never sleep again. It has everything.
But does it have deals on all 10 of the top 10 appliance brands?
No.
That's because only Sears has them all. Hurry into Sears Veterans Day appliance event and get up to 25% off appliances, plus save even more with Appliance Super Buys. This is the top 10 advantage. This is Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer valid 11/8 to 11/13.
Welcome back, ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. When we were off the air just a second ago, you said you wanted to clarify community versus personal property. Do I have that right?
Actually, community versus separate property.
Separate property, okay.
These are big terms of art in divorce court. And the way I like to express it to clients is if you think about it like a football goal, you know, where you got the left and the right side, you know, the goalposts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get it between the goalposts, it's community property, meaning the date of marriage and the date of separation are your goalposts if you look at it on a timeline. And so if it's acquired during the marriage, it's community property. That means it's 50-50. Okay.
Got it.
If it's outside those goalposts, meaning before the date of marriage or after the date of separation, then it's considered separate property when you acquired it. Now, there's a couple of exceptions to the community property rule, though, and that is if you get something by gift, bequest, inheritance, or devise. So basically, if somebody gives me an estate or give me a $100,000 or something, I put in a bank account, that's my separate property. If somebody... While in the goalpost, if it's during the marriage, it's mine. Yeah, as long as I don't mix it.
So I think what you're saying is that if you're hanging in that relationship because your spouse is going to get a big inheritance, that's not going to be part of...
Precisely.
Right. Not going to do you any good.
Not good.
Potentially.
Unless you're dumb enough or generous enough to commingle it with the community estate to the point where the court can't separate it out. Okay? And then if somebody, if you inherit something from Aunt Mabel, like you just said, like if it's a big inheritance, then that's going to be your separate property.
Your separate property. Got it. Okay. So, as promised... How long do we have to be married before the spouse is entitled to half my stuff?
Well, the cool thing about separate property is it's your separate property forever. Unless you do one of the things, as we talked before, that can transmute the property. Okay? So one of those things could be that you sign something that says that I want this to be community property.
So the duration of the marriage meaningless.
The duration of the marriage is meaningless when you're talking about separate property. And so a lot of times I'll have people come up to me, I want to protect all my family money when I get married and I need a prenup. Well, you don't really. You just, because it's really your separate property, it's only if you're going to have a problem where you're commingling that money, you're mixing community property and separate property where you might have a problem. So I'm always telling people, keep it separate if you can. If you've got a house that's a separate property asset and you're renting it out as a landlord,
mm-hmm.
let that be self-sufficient. Don't bring the community into that. Don't bring the community in to pay the mortgage or to take care of it. Let that be within the separate property as much as possible, because if you start commingling it, then you start running the risk of transmuting a portion of it.
Yeah. I can see that.
Sounds a lot like business and not a lot like a relationship, honestly. I mean, I can't imagine being married to somebody and not having brought to the relationship something prior to the marriage, and now we're both making money, we're paying the bills, I'm paying them 1 month, she's paying them the next month, or I'm paying them 1 year, paying them the next year. I mean, it seems all mixed up to me.
The family code is famous for taking the romance out of things, And one of my favorite issues is when you're giving somebody a gift, and if it's over a certain value, I think it's $10,000. I better double check that. But if it's over a certain value, and you give somebody, say, a car, here you go, it's a gift. Well, that's not necessarily a gift, unless you have a gift tag that says I transmute this as separate right. or community property right. to separate property for you, my dear. Enjoy your Lexus.
Transmute. You know.
Interesting.
You have to have the magic
word.
What
about jewelry? What about things like that?
Well, if it's over a certain value, then the jewelry could be considered something that was actually, even though I gave it to you for Christmas, it could be considered an investment. So the $20,000 tennis bracelet might actually be considered community property, even though I gave it to somebody for Christmas or for the anniversary.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Complicated stuff. Sean does have another five of these that we're not going to have time to get through. But for Sean's entire list of love and real estate, you can call us at the helpline here, 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. Or go to his website, bravewebermac.com.
That's right.
And yep. the frequently asked questions section, right?
That's the
They're all there.
The frequently asked questions section, yes.
Now, additionally, you do free consultations.
That's
so,
correct.
You know, if you find yourself in one of these situations, don't wait till it's too late. You want to get ahead of this. Again, the real estate helpline, 888-551-2593. Now, your other passion here was on what I kind of determined to be a bit of a new concept, this collaborative divorce concept. What is that?
Well, collaborative divorce is a new movement in the legal profession where what you have is two attorneys that sign an agreement with the parties that they're never going to cross the threshold of the courtroom. They're never going to go to court. If one of the parties decides to go to court, then both of the attorneys drop out of the process. And so what does that do? That encourages people to resolve this on their own in a non-adversarial method instead of going to court and having the nightmare of the court scenario. I always tell people,
we've heard it's a big nightmare. People spend hours there, and it could be dragged on forever, and it's an emotional issue.
It's awful. And at family court right now, especially with the budget cuts that we're having in California, the court's not getting funding. We're losing we're losing departments, we think. We're losing court reporters. You're not actually going to have somebody transcribe.
So just so I understand, collaborative divorce is where the two parties with attorneys come to an agreement. They then propose it to the court. They never actually step foot in the court. The judge reviews the documentation and signs off on it.
That's it. And the benefit of it is it's solutions-based. I can sit in a room with the attorney. I'm not worried about posturing for my client. I'm worried about getting to a solution that's good for the family. It's good for the kids. It really puts kids first. And the other thing that's nice about it is it's a team-oriented approach. You don't just have the two attorneys, but you can bring in mental health professionals. You can bring in a financial professional to be a part of the team that also signs the same stipulation.
Right, I've heard about that. So what I want to know is this less expensive?
Well, it's not necessarily divorce on the cheap. You know, I don't want to mislead anyone. It costs money because you got more people involved sometimes. But it's cheaper than going to court just because you're not having to deal with all of the litigation, nightmare,
massive time,
discovery, mm-hmm. depositions, all that kind of thing. I had a professor in law school say about litigation, you go in a pig, you come out a sausage.
Sounds like a real estate transaction, right?
Yeah. Nowadays it is. So briefly here, I think what I thought when we talked was most interesting to me is that 80% of your cases you're able to settle through basically not going to court, which, I mean, I can't imagine anybody wants to go to court.
That's right. Most of the time when people call an attorney, they're thinking court. They're thinking litigation. Right. But really, you can choose at the beginning of your case, and this is what I do with my clients, is you choose at the beginning of the case how you're going to divorce. The decision of how to divorce is almost as important as the decision to divorce, your process that you choose. So we have all kinds of no-court options that are available to people, including collaborative, mediation, things like that can keep you out of court.
That's good news. I mean, good news for a bad situation, I guess it is. Divorce is never going to be a good thing. But
right. You can't change the fact that people are going to divorce. You can't change that.
Right.
But you can change how they divorce.
So the helpline here, 888 888- 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. Sean is around. He'll take your questions. You know, we can get back to you with whatever happens to be. I hear the music there. Like, it's time for a break. When we come back, we'll get into detail here with Kelly and talk about some interest rates.
We're going to find out about the down payment assistance program, how there is $20 million available for down payment assistance in California.
You know, I talk a lot about real estate on the show because real estate mistakes are very costly. Many of the people I hear from who are in bad situations with money have made at least one or more real estate mistakes in recent history. It's tough for me because I would have easily been able to help them avoid those mistakes if we had spoken sooner rather than later. This is why I urge anyone who is facing foreclosure, thinking about a short sale, or stuck in what I call the loan modification nightmare to call the Real Estate Helpline today and get some free and honest advice before doing anything. You can also get a free home valuation and loan modification update as well. It's 888-888-0154. That's the phone number, 888-888-0154, or email online, MrCreditRadio.com.
If you have student loans, listen very carefully to this message. Student loan debt in America recently passed credit card debt as the number one debt held by Americans. The good news is Congress has taken action and there is now a program that can help you save money on your student loans. Call 877-927-6864 right now if you want to save money on your student loans. That's 877-927-6864. You can consolidate your student loans into one low monthly payment, get your deferment time renewed, and even get some of the principal balance forgiven in some cases. You can change the repayment plan as often as you need. There are experts in this program ready for your call. 877-927-6864. That's 877-927-6864. You can stretch your repayment term out from 10 years to as much as 30 years if you need. 877-927-6864 right now to save money on your student loans.
Do not be alarmed, but I am on the roof of your car right now. I just found out Little Caesars has hot and ready pizza and wings, which means I don't have to call ahead or wait. Sorry I had to get you involved, but I needed a ride. It's only $6 for hot and ready Caesar wings and $5 for a large hot and ready pepperoni pizza. If I'm not on the roof when you get there, I've fallen off, but do not come looking for me. Just go in and enjoy the wings and pizza. Thanks.
Pizza, pizza.
At participating locations, plus tax.
Leslie French was hunkered down for a fight.
I was just at the dealership looking for a car.
Lured in by the enemy.
No, it was pretty cordial, but I did need a car loan fast.
There was no time.
I called Navy Federal Credit Union. A really nice guy approved me for a loan on the spot. Great rate, too.
Victory was hers.
Well, a convertible was mine.
4 million members, 4 million stories. From every military branch, DOD, and their families. NavyFederal.org. Federally insured by NCUA.
Para resultados y más información acerca de este programa, consultar la página espnradio1700.com.
Welcome back to ESPN 1700, the Real Estate Radio Hour, with your host, David McKelvin, and
Ryan White.
We are here with Sean Weber, the attorney at law from Brave, Weber, and Mack. And we are also here with Kelly Klein, the branch manager, Blue Fi Lending. And we are seeing a lot of action lately with Blue Fi Lending. You guys are expanding, right? Every single week, it seems like. You've got a new branch coming up. You just opened one down here in Mission Valley. What's going on with Blue Fi, and why should we care?
Well, Blue Fi Lending is a true San Diego-based mortgage lender, and we're not a mortgage brokerage. We're not a middleman. We actually underwrite our paper. We fund our loans. We sell our loans off to the secondary market, and we haven't really been in existence that long to have a bunch of troubled loans. We opened up our doors back in January of 2009, and in the last year and a half, we've more than doubled in size with the opening of our Mission Valley branch. We're currently in the process of opening up another location over in Scripps, Poway. We've recently expanded into the Las Vegas, Nevada marketplace with two new locations out there. And we just recently added a reverse mortgage division here in our Carlsbad headquarters because we believe that the reverse mortgage is going to be a very hot product here as more baby boomers are becoming of age 65 and can become eligible for the reverse mortgage program. So we're definitely expanding in all of the various capacities in which the mortgage space will allow us at this point.
Yeah, I know. And we've known each other for, what, about 8 years or so. And,
yep.
And it used to be that I would go to Kelly when I had a problem loan, you know. And it dawned on me after a while when I got the opportunity to start referring business to you, to send it to you. And I started getting unsolicited thank you letters from my clients because of the good job that you guys were doing. And I'm not just standing on a soapbox here. I'm telling you the truth. So, you know, 2009, you guys opened your BlueFi lending first branch, which some might say was one of the toughest times to do that. And, you know, now with over 10,000 mortgages being approved every day, you know, we're seeing it to be a more and more competitive environment. So, you know, back between 1995 and 2000, there was a big rush on the mortgage industry. Matter of fact, I remember seeing First Plus Financial was loaning up to 125% of the loan. Remember the 125s they used to do?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, obviously we don't want to go down the same path of that. But at the same time, we're starting to see a lot of legislation come down enabling people to get these mortgages. So a lot of people are still under the impression that they can't get a mortgage when, in fact, there's $20 million that grant that the state of California is giving out to first-time home buyers.
That's correct, Dave. There's actually a program that's been around for quite some time, and it's kind of dipped in and out of the marketplace when funds are available and when they're not. And right now, the California Housing Finance Agency, called CalHFA, is an organization here based out of California that does have about $20 million worth of funds that they are granting, which is basically a down payment assistance program. And just as an example, if you live in San Diego County and you are a husband and wife with a child and you make income of just under $78,000 a year annually with the CalHFA down payment assistance program, you could actually qualify for a property with FHA, with an FHA mortgage for $440,000 sales price. And all you need to bring in to buy that house is $2,200, which is 0.5% for your down payment.
Well,
wow.
Call me
what?
right. Well, call me a skeptic, but when I hear about these first-time buyer programs, and when you say first-time buyer program, what you really mean is you haven't had purchased a home in the last 3 years.
That's correct. As long as you haven't purchased and resided in an owner-occupied property in the last 3 years, you become an eligible first-time buyer.
So, say somebody gets a divorce with Sean Weber. He goes out. He's penniless now, but he's got $2,200 and this down payment assistance program because of his qualifications. You're pretty much telling us that you can get a mortgage with almost 0% down?
I wouldn't necessarily say that Sean's divorcee would fit that bill necessarily because perhaps the husband and wife were currently owning the home together, so that wouldn't make one of them eligible as a first-time buyer. But to the second point of your statement, yes, if you do have $2,200 in your pocket and you do make $78,000 a year, well, in this case, you'd only be two people. Perhaps if you have a child, you're going to bump that down. It's all really this down payment assistance is based on your median average household income based on heads per house. So if you're a single individual and you have a child, now your annual income has to be less than $69,000 a year, which now lets you afford to buy a property for $400,000 with $2,000 down.
Sure, and the specific numbers change for every scenario.
Correct.
How do we find out more about this assistance program? BlueFi.com? Or where do we go to get info
You can reach us at BlueFi.com. We are a local San Diego-based lender here, and there aren't a lot of mortgage companies who are approved to offer these down payment assistance programs because you do need to be a correspondent bank. You need to be able to write your own mortgage loans. No brokers have access to these down payment assistance programs. So if you look up calhfa.org, you can also find BlueFi Lending's contact information on their website because we are one of their preferred lenders.
And it's BlueFi.com, no E.
That's correct. And we are not a technology company.
Okay, so tell us a little more about this mortgage credit certificate.
So the mortgage credit certificate is also another variation of the down payment assistance program. And what the mortgage credit certificate does is it allows you to use the annual interest that you pay on your mortgage as a source of income. So where you might pay, let's say, $12,000 a year in mortgage interest on your home loan, you take that $12,000 a year divided by 12 months, you end up with $1,000 extra of reportable income to qualify for your mortgage. So for somebody who might not quite be able to meet the debt-to-income ratio guideline, they're pushing up on that threshold, they apply for the mortgage credit certificate through the state of California, through Blue Fi Lending. We issue them their certificate. We allow them an extra $1,000 of income to help them qualify for the purchase of that property.
So is this assuming you don't have tax returns? Wouldn't that be already taken into account on a tax return?
No, because you're purchasing a home. So we take
it in advance. You didn't have
the home in advance. It's an interest credit advance.
Right. You're using that extra income that you would normally get because you're going to have the interest rate deduction, which is something we touched on a little bit earlier about how the politicians were considering taking this out.
Correct.
And you guys are using that deduction as a tangible income to qualify for the mortgage ratio, the debt-to-income ratio currently.
So ahead of time, I can use the tax rebate, the interest tax deduction, to qualify before I own the home.
That's right.
That's awesome.
It's good. It's a good deal. It helps a lot of people get that house that they might have just been short of being able to qualify for.
So regarding refinancing, I mean, you mentioned earlier that you can get a 3% 30-year fixed with virtually no points. Is that right?
3% would be more of the 15-year fixed product. The 30-year product is 3.5% with no points based on today's market, which is, again, improving over the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing the refinances up right now? I mean, given the – I mean, a lot of people know the interest rates are low right now, but haven't they been low long enough to where we're churning through the refinances now? Or is the appreciation in real estate now causing your industry to literally be on fire?
I would definitely say so. It's when we talk about it, we're very excited about what the next couple of years has in store for the mortgage in the real estate marketplace. And there have been a lot of fence dwellers who have been sitting on the sidelines thinking that, oh, the rates are going to get lower and they're going to get lower. But I mean, when you hit historical lows, you can't really be too optimistic that they're going to get even lower than that. So they're finally coming to their realization that, wow, if I can get 3.5% for no cost and I had 3.875, hey, I'm saving 0.375% and it doesn't cost me a penny to do it. I might as well go through the paperwork with my trusted mortgage advisor who's already done my loan 3 or 4 times in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
we tend to see a lot of our clients come back around a second, third, or even fourth time to take advantage of these historical low rates.
Well, now that Obama has been reelected, do you feel that interest rates are going to remain low? I mean, how is this going to impact the market?
I think with the reelection of President Obama, the mortgage marketplace is in a little bit better place because they put in quantitative easing 3, known as QE3, which is the government's attempt to continue buying mortgage-backed securities. When the government's going to go in and buy those mortgage-backed securities, they're keeping the prices low enough so that there's also investor appetite. By doing that, it's forcing interest rates to remain low. And the QE3 is kind of putting the interest rate marketplace in a position to stay low at least through the year of 2013. So we feel pretty optimistic about rates staying near these low levels at least for the next 6 months, possibly even a year from now.
Are you still having problems with appraisals right now? I mean, there's a lot of news about values coming up. Are you seeing the refinance market appraisal issue go away now?
We're starting to see that. I can give you a perfect example of a client of mine who owned a second home in La Jolla. It's a condo. He lives up in Los Angeles. 4 months ago, we had his house appraised, and it appraised for $460. We didn't have enough value to make the loan work without mortgage insurance. He said he didn't like the appraisal. He was willing to sit on the sidelines for 4 months, let the appraisal expire. We did that. We reappraised his property. It appraised for $490. 4 months later, so $30,000 higher in 4 months. His loan was eligible. We locked him in. He's signing loan paperwork tomorrow.
Wow.
So the appraisals are really impacting a lot of these people's ability to get back into the market for a refinance.
So if you've been declined for value for a refinance previously, it may be worth taking a second look at because market's moving enough, or at least the appraiser can justify another price.
And you're also seeing that listing prices of homes now, as you guys know, are usually a little bit higher than what comps have even sold around the block lately. So you're starting to see market kind of driving price up.
There is a huge rush on inventory right now. In fact, in the state of California, we've seen 0% year-over-year increase in number of sales, or a slight increase in number of sales, but pretty much zero, mainly not because there isn't the demand, but mainly because of the fact that the lack of inventory right now is just causing this huge pent-up demand. I'm actually going back to expired listings and searching out properties that are not on the market anymore to see about finding homes for the buyers that we're working with. I mean, it's that tight right now.
The helpline, 888-551-2593, 888-551-2593. If you're looking for more information on the mortgage interest deduction certificate, do I have that right?
Mortgage credit certificate.
Credit certificate. Mortgage credit certificate, bluefi.com. Kelly Klein can help you out, as well as Sean here with bravewebermac.wordpress.com. That's his blog, as well as Weber Family Law is your Twitter.
That's right.
All you ever want to know about Love and Real Estate is there for you. Guys, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
One more time, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. Talk to you next week.